Hey, it's Nicole Tompkins, Jill Valentine, in the new Resident Evil 3 remake, and you're listening to the Sound Architect Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to the Sound Architect Podcast. I am your host, Sam Hughes, and as you just heard, today I'm joined by the lovely Nicole Tompkins. Thanks for joining me today, Nicole. How are you?
I'm so great. Thank you so much for having me. It's such a pleasure to be here.
It's an absolute pleasure to have you. Now, I have to admit, I'm a huge Resident Evil fan, so I am super excited to talk to you about your role as Jill Valentine. However, before we do that, I'd love to ask you how your journey into acting began.
Yeah, totally. I feel like I might have a similar story to some in that I was a total musical theater nerd as a kid. I did theater and musicals and shows. It was kind of probably the beginning of my love of performance and storytelling. And at a certain point, I just realized I could do this for a living and that it was the only thing that I wanted to do. And I super loved films and movies and TV. And I was in a very fortunate position where I could relocate to Los Angeles because I'm originally from Texas.
Lovely.
And it was there that I just started rigorously studying and I began auditioning and then had a very, very fortunate break into voiceover and video games, which was a world I knew existed but didn't fully understand how it worked. And the first time I jumped onto a motion capture stage, I was like, oh, that's what this is? Cool. Never going back. I hope to do this a long time.
And that's it. You're in games for life now.
And that's it. Now we make video games.
Awesome.
And other stuff. But man, it's just so much fun to get in there and perform on a stage like that and prioritize vocal performance and things like that.
Yeah, oh my God, I can imagine. And it ties in nicely to my next question, actually. I wanted to ask you how it was to have your first adventure in video games and, you know, what it was like when you first acted for a game instead of on camera or on stage.
It was really a unique transition because it's so different than when you're shooting a movie or, you know, TV or theater, but it's kind of like a marriage of all of those experiences in some ways.
Yeah.
And my first game was Middle-earth Shadow of War, which is a WB game in the Lord of the Rings, you know, world.
And yeah, very nice.
Idril,
cool.
The Shield Maiden of Gondor. And I was super lucky because I got to jump in with a crew that knows a little bit about how to be an actor in games because my director was Troy Baker, who was also the lead of that game. And we were with Travis Willingham and Laura Bailey, so I was in super, super good hands.
Yeah, you know, a few names we may have heard of before, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if you've heard of them. They've been around.
Done a couple of games here and there, yeah.
You know, this and that. And they just proved to be, I mean, they're just golden people in general. They're just such awesome talents. And you see them on social media and otherwise cons. They're just really kind people. And so I just was surrounded by people that really helped me kind of feel very comfortable and excited into my first venture into the video game world. And when that's your first experience, you're like, oh, cool, great. Yeah, let's do it. I'm game.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of like a really interesting first foray into games.
Yeah, definitely. It sets the bar pretty high.
Yeah, so your expectations are high now for moving forward.
Definitely.
And I have to ask, is it a pure coincidence that they're all also from Texas?
Shh, don't tell them our secrets.
It's the secret way in.
Yeah, you just have to be born in Texas, move to LA, and specifically Dallas. All three of them are like Texas babes, Dallas area.
Oh, you're kidding.
No.
That's incredible.
Yeah, Texas is a big place. Like, it's not a teeny little state. It's
that's
not
true.
Like,
oh,
we're
that's
all
true.
We're all from that one spot. It's a big spot.
Ah, okay, I just have to be born in Texas next. That's next on the list, right?
Yeah, just hook that in and you're in. You're a shoo-in.
So it's the moment I've been waiting for. I don't know about anyone else as well, but I've definitely been waiting for this. It's time to talk about Resident Evil 3.
What's that?
Yeah, I think it's a small game that came out fairly recently.
I've heard of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
Yeah, there's a character in it called Jill. I don't know if you know who she is, but...
Oh, wait. Oh, yeah. It rings a bell.
Yeah, Jill Mother's Day or something? I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So.
St. Patrick's.
Yeah, some sort of occasion. So, Resident Evil 3. Tell me about your experience and how did you first get involved? It's incredible. First of all, I have to say that your performance was awesome. Like, it was Jill Valentine on point. It was so good.
Thank you so much. That honestly means a lot, because it sounds like you're a true RE fan, so.
Yeah, I mean, I'm reining it in a bit right now. I won't lie.
I'm good. Oh, good. No, I'm glad. You're very composed. I would never know that you're freaking out, because I am. No.
Just mute my mic now and again and just scream. It's fine.
You just mute it. That's amazing. Cool. I do that all the time. I just don't tell anyone.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my gosh, being Jill Valentine is definitely an absolute dream come true. I don't know how it couldn't be. For me, I, you know, went through a pretty standard audition process, and it was somewhat rigorous in some ways, because they really wanted to make sure that they found kind of the right person to bring this iconic woman to 2020.
Yeah.
And it just so happened to be me. We got along very, very well early on, and the director, the cinematics director, Steve Knieble, and I think, just had a very shared vision for what she was going to look like, just right off the bat. And I think that really helped.
Yeah, so you got to see what she looked like before kind of getting fully in.
Yeah, there was some character art that was not the final image or anything, but just some character art to kind of show. And I knew who she was. Like, I'd heard of the series. I was familiar with the franchise.
Nice.
And so I knew who she was, which is definitely a leg up if you are working on a character that has such a accessible history.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I can imagine.
Yeah. And so, yeah, between that and then just such a fantastic cast, working with Jeff Shine, who plays Carlos, and Neil Newbon, Nikolai and Nemesis, William Hope, Darren O'Hare, all of these guys are just such pros, and really just brought their A game to this experience. So as far as like being on the motion capture stage together, it just was a joy. It's just an absolute delight to go to work every day. I always kind of compare working on the motion capture stage to this image of, like, regardless of what industry you're in, imagine going to work every day and every single person is like stoked to be there. They're just excited because they're all fans of what they're doing and what they're working on. So you're just surrounded by people that are excited to be there every day. And that kind of enthusiasm.
Just so much hype.
Yeah. And that energy is just so infectious. You know, that's how we get to really come together and make something awesome, because there's just so many people involved in bringing this kind of game to life. And when they're all excited to be there, there's just nothing like it.
It's really amusing to me as well, because like it seems to be a trend as well, because obviously video games are so much fun and everyone's usually quite excited to work on them anyway. But when you find like a horrific, serious horror game and everyone's like, yeah, it was so much fun. Like, we had so much fun.
Blast. Oh my gosh. It was amazing. Yeah. Exactly.
I died like 20 times. It was great. Like,
oh, God, death by fire. There were so many death screams. Did you guys hear how I screamed that time? I really liked it. I really felt connected to that one. High fives all around.
Yeah, and this is it. Like, everyone seems to have such a, like, really fun vibe on horror sets. Like, I mean, I kind of get it. It makes sense.
I mean, here's what I like. I've done a couple, like, psycho thriller films and movies as well. Imagine if you mute the sound in any kind of horror experience, and you just watch it without the sound, without any of the effects or the things that make it really intense, you start to get a picture of, like, it can be really amusing. Like, it's very serious, and we take it very seriously, but it's also, once you call cut, it's like, yeah, that was intense, and also awesome.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, we just kind of jump back out and are total nerds.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like a, must be a field day for actors in general, to be honest, on the mocap stage for something like that.
Yeah.
You get to go and have a load of fun. It's all crazy and everything's just weird and wonderful.
Totally. Because oftentimes we have live renderings of our character models as well. I'm sure you've seen it in the past. People like making their characters do ridiculous dances and stuff. But just like Neil mocapped Nemesis. So just imagine this giant character, you know, model rendered live, and then me just being all Jillish and
Jillish.
We just mess around. Yeah, hey, you gotta be a little Jillish. And we're just sitting there, you know, kind of goofing off a little bit in between, because it's just, it's fun. It just legitimately is fun. It's hard work, but man, by the time we get there, the amount of hard work that everyone else has put in to make the experience work the way that it does.
Yeah.
We get there, and in some ways, I think our job is a breeze and a joy.
Yeah, and I would murder to see that B-roll, man. That would be so entertaining. So with it being a remake, obviously there's a lot of history and a lot of pressure about it coming out and kind of living up to the hype or whatever of the old one, but also have like a new direction because it's still a new game. So did you research the original games before the role, or was it like all focused on the new perspective? Did they want you not to do it? You know, like, how did it go?
Yeah, they didn't particularly guide me on whether or not to look at the old games. I think it was sort of in my own perspective on whether or not I wanted to kind of look back at some of those past performances. But I was surrounded by a team that had a very clear vision. So I feel like it's kind of a balance of what you just said. I, on my own, definitely took a glance back at some of the past performances because I wanted to pay kind of respect to who this person is and what people expect. But then you take a glance, you look, you go, okay, got it. And then you just, once you get there, you let it all go. Because at the end of the day, I think what this game does really well is it focuses on kind of the cinematic nature and a real naturalistic perspective while still having a lot of the levity and some of the humor and some of the, you know, campy things here and there.
Yeah.
That just like bring all the nostalgia bubbles back. Like, it's very immersive in some ways. So when we're sitting there working, I'm not really thinking of this outside perspective or what people are going to think about it. I think there's enough other team members and Capcom people and people that have that broader vision to make sure we're like aligned and not doing something that's totally not in the world. But
yeah, of course.
You know, mostly we kind of understand the world that we're in. At the end of the day, she's one of the youngest STARS members. She's professional. She's trained. She's in a really rough position, and she is totally resilient, super strong, and on a mission in a less than ideal scenario.
Yeah, she's a badass.
So as long as you can kind of jump into that, like, she's just going to keep getting back up, and she takes what she's doing very seriously. And then when she meets Carlos, she just has this opportunity to kind of have a perspective of humor and levity that I think comes through in their dynamic with each other.
Yeah, definitely.
It was just particularly fun.
And, you know, this kind of tags on to the back of that question as well, because Jill is such an iconic character. I mean, she was in the first game as well as the third one, so she's known so well in the series.
Totally.
And how did you build up that character? Like, what was the first description you were given, and how did you kind of flow from there?
I mean, I think it's a super collaborative process, especially for a character like Jill. Mm. Her first description was pretty, not general, but very much like, look, she's a professional, she's strong, she's resilient, she, you know, takes her job seriously, and she always gets back up. You know, it was kind of like those sort of terminology. And while that's awesome, you look at that and go, cool, that could look like a lot of things. Thankfully, we had a really good script to begin with, and that's not always the case, but there was a really strong script, and I felt like the characters kind of were pretty alive on the page.
That's
so it
awesome,
gave us a
yeah.
lot of opportunity to just take what's there and go, oh, I see this. Well, let me throw that at it. Let me try this. And then, you know, you're in a team experience with an amazing director and animation team and everything else. And so everyone, you know, kind of is there to go, oh yeah, that totally works. Or, oh, how about we try this if something didn't work? So with that said, there's just so many people involved that make sure we're living in a world that's true to the vision that they have, you know? And I think that's what we did. We really brought to life what that vision was.
Yeah, definitely. And it was crazy, crazy awesome. And I have to ask mainly about the mocap scenes with Nemesis.
Yeah.
Because what were those like? Because in the game, obviously, he's horrific and terrifying. And you don't want to be anywhere near him. However, I can imagine when it's not a big looming mass of bioweapon, it's very hard to keep a straight face.
I mean, I always look at Neil Newman as a big, massive, gross looking bioweapon. I mean, how could you not?
I mean, to be fair, that's a valid description of Neil, I have to say. Yeah,
yeah, cool. Right?
It's pretty
he
on
looks
point.
Just like him. I don't know. Neil is a very, very close friend at this point.
I was going to say, yeah, but after this.
it is there's a lot of humor. Yeah, if you see like behind the scenes stuff of like Nemesis and Jill facing off on the mocap stage, I just imagine like a third person with like a bag of popcorn, just eyes darting between the two, like, oh, what's gonna happen?
Yes.
Who's doing what? And we're just like having a stare down that just in wetsuits with balls all over them. Yeah. People are like, oh wow, it's going down, Velcro City. Are they gonna hug? Are they gonna shoot each other? What's gonna go? You know, so I just imagine from an outside perspective, it can look pretty hilarious. When we're in there, it's very technical, right? When you have something that huge, obviously Neil is not. Gosh, I don't even know exactly how tall he is. Someone does, but he's not that giant.
It's tall, but not crazy
Neil,
tall.
Yeah,
right?
Neil is tall, but Neil is not Nemesis tall.
No,
Nemesis
not like
is
seven
like
or eight
very
feet
tall. Right. So we're working with you know, perspectives on like where I would be looking. So sometimes like our heads are offset on the motion capture stage to kind of and then other times that gets adjusted later. So there's a lot of technical aspects of like, oh, well, his whole hand would grab around her legs. So like all of her legs to drag her. So we can't just have, you know, just a single hand grabbing an ankle. We have to like come up with, you know, some sort of rig that like takes its like a rope all the way around her legs, right? To make it, to keep my legs together for the whole. So there's just all that fun technical stuff. So I think it gets broken down into a lot of little bits and pieces, and then we rely very heavily on an incredible, you know, development and animation team and all of the amazing people. Just watch the credits, how many people are involved
bringing
to life just the intensity of the final product.
Yeah, and like you say, like I'm really intrigued by these rigs. I can just imagine them coming up with like, okay, so this is going to be a Nemesis hand.
yeah. And I mean, sometimes that's just like, you know, a little piece of rope. Here's the Nemesis hand.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
or a new high tech.
So it sounds like really, it sounds really glamorous. And then it's really just Nicole being like dragged against carpet.
By a rope.
You know,
like dragged
by a
on
rope.
The floor.
And then I'm sitting there just shooting this amazing PA who's just like dragging, or like the stunt coordinator who's just dragging me with this rope. And he's not suited up or anything. And I'm just reacting to this wonderful fellow who's responsible for dragging all of my body weight.
I just have this like compilation in my head now where you're like, it was so much fun. And then there's you just like screaming, being dragged along the floor and being thrown into like mats on the floor and the wall.
Look, I always say, if you come out of any sort of survival horror narrative without any bruises or tears or sweat or blood or something, you did it wrong. You gotta come away with just a few.
Gotta look like Jill Valentine at the end of Resident Evil 3. That's the plan, right?
Yeah, right.
So, did you have a very favorite moment or line in the game that you were like, yeah, that felt good?
I feel like there's so many. She has so many satisfying moments.
She's a badass,
moments.
Man. She
She's
has
got
so
many good,
good
one-liners. They're so great. And I feel everyone kind of picks their favorite, too, because I feel like different ones resonate with different people. For me, it's just like every moment is like, yeah, I said that.
That
you
was
know,
me.
It was me. Hey, Mom, look, I'm cool.
Hey, look, I'm in a video game.
Yeah, right. She's like, wow, it's really violent. Yeah. I know.
Who's that guy? Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah, right. It's fine, Mom. It's fine. No. I think one of my favorite moments, and I've said this before, so a few people already know, but the radio dialogue with Carlos in the subway.
I love her and Carlos. It's so good.
Yeah, it was a satisfying moment. It was also her final, I know what a radio is, was an added line. It was an improv line.
No way, I was about to say that's like my favorite line.
Oh my gosh. Well, thank you.
No, seriously. I was about to say, I love the rapport she has with him and like the subtle moments, especially when she's like, I know what a radio does, man.
Yeah. Well, so originally it was different. And I just, Carlos and Jeff and I were sitting across from each other and he's like, we can use this to stay in contact. And then it just like goes back to gameplay. And originally I was like, did he just mansplain a radio? Like, are we just going to let that slide? Like, it's a radio. I know what a radio is.
Yeah, it's like a massive walkie-talkie.
She's a professional.
In your hand, like,
mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm, I got it. So we kind of joked along and riffed for a minute, and our director came over and was like, yeah, let's give it a try. Let's just try to, you know, stick that in there. Let's see if it works. And we did, and it just was funny. Everyone just was
awesome.
Love it. Moving on.
Yes. I'm so glad you said that as well, because it was such a nice line and so well delivered. I'm even more happy now that it's ad-libbed as well.
Yay!
So what would you say were the biggest challenges of becoming Jill Valentine? Apart from the nemesis, obviously, following you everywhere.
Right. There's a large creature. It's intense. I mean, it is a pretty physically demanding role, but I was always in... with people that made me feel incredibly safe, and there was teams that came together for, you know, intense sequences and stuff like that to bring the whole world to life with wires and whatnot, the pros. So I think as far as challenging goes, you know, any step of the process at some level is kind of challenging, but because we're, you know, so happy to be there and just committed and surrounded with resources and tools and people that know what they're doing, I just can't look at it and go, oh, it was, you know, oh, this was really challenging. Like, yeah, any moment could be challenging, but we're just in it together. And I think anytime, you know, you're with other people in that way, it doesn't feel hard. It feels easy and wonderful and like you're problem solving together. And I think that's relevant to anything that we do, man. When we come together, does it feel like a challenge? Sure, at some level, but really we're just problem solving and telling stories.
Wow, that's a very good way of putting it.
Thanks.
That was a very,
that's how
very
I feel.
Wholesome message to answer that question with in all.
Just here to make the world a slightly better place. Let's all love each other.
Yeah, I mean it's a good vibe, to be fair. It's kind of, especially right now.
Yeah. Reach out to people that you know. Stay connected. It's important, and it makes everything feel less hard, right?
Exactly. Just... And, you know.
Yeah.
So to jump on the back of that question then, if you could give your past self any advice on voice acting, what would it be?
I would actually say, well, I'm doing it even more now, but just early Nicole, like when I was first getting started, just... Actually, some of the technique, some of the technical stuff. I tend to be a pretty intuitive performer. I've learned a lot, and I approach a lot of my roles based on kind of the narrative and the story and the emotion behind what's happening. And something that I've learned a lot more of is just the technical requirements of doing this kind of work. Breath control, breath support. I came from musical theater, so I knew how to breathe properly, but just the added... technical aspects that are required to be able to vocally sustain yourself. If you think about it, every time you die as Jill in Inferno mode or otherwise, even assisted mode, like there's a really intense death scream or crazy effort noise that goes along with that. And we spend hours, you know, in the booth doing these really intense sequences and lines and shouting and whatever else. And it just takes a lot of vocal vitality and vocal resilience. And so I think just learning even earlier, I would just say, Nicole, you know, take your time, learn how to take care of your voice, learn how to take care of your performances, because there's a lot of technical ways to support what you're doing. Because I am definitely someone who can just get carried away in the method of the moment and create a super awesome, exciting performance. And sometimes that's all you need. But most of the time, we're not doing one take.
Yeah.
We're doing many.
And you also need to be able to speak for the rest of the week, you know?
Like correct. Yeah, because you're coming back tomorrow to do more. So I think that, and that's probably just a good... one of my biggest recommendations when people are asking me, like, how do I get into voice acting? Or, like, what should I do to pursue voiceover? I always say, just study. Study, study, study. Just keep working on your craft. Get in front of a mic. Spend hours there working on material. Because it's one of the greatest things and benefits you can give yourself. Because most of what we do as voiceover actors is a lot of the work, and then we get a little bit of the promise. We do hundreds of auditions and hundreds of times in front of our mics at home and in booths. So studying is, I think, the best thing you can do for yourself.
Yeah, and that's some really solid advice as well. Nice. Thank you very much.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm sure past Nicole would very much have appreciated it.
Yeah, past Nicole would be like, sure, but it's also fun.
Look at the scream.
Wait, that's also present. Yeah, that's still present, Nicole. Let's be honest. It's still like, oh, yeah, I can die by fire for 38 seconds. I'm ready. Go. You know.
Yeah, let's do that first. Why not?
Yeah, let's start there.
Well, you know, it's so much easier to give advice than take your own advice, right? That's the whole
totally.
Point.
Yeah, totally. Do what I say, not what I do.
Yeah, it's like the parent mentality. Mm-hmm. Right. I have one final question. And judging by the industry we're in, it could be a very short answer.
All right.
To finish off with, what lies in store for you now that you're allowed to talk about is the part that might make it very short.
You know what? That does make it very short. I do have some exciting projects coming up, and I'm in a wonderful industry that doesn't Classic. Want anyone to know about them for a while. So stay tuned. Follow me on social media. I'm at Nikki Lee Tompkins. I love hanging out and chatting with people, and I will, of course, you know, update as soon as I can on future projects. In the meantime, I have a movie that is streaming right now on Amazon Prime that a lot of people have been enjoying called Antrim, the deadliest film ever made.
Oh, cool.
Also in the psychothriller horror genre. So for those that love it, maybe give that a go. It's a very unique kind of art house film that I'm pretty proud of in many ways. So
what was that again?
Antrim, the deadliest film ever made. Yeah, it went viral on TikTok recently. I didn't know that was possible. But
it went
super viral. I didn't even know that was a thing. And then I got a message from my director like, yo, it's viral on TikTok. And so then it became a trending movie on Amazon Prime for a bit there. So that's available. You can watch that now. And otherwise, you know, just stay tuned. I as you can tell from my vocal resonance, I'm excited to announce things when I can.
Yes, I'm excited to maybe possibly tell you at some point in the near future some stuff.
I might be doing stuff, maybe, sort of, maybe. Yes. I don't know.
Maybe, but, you know, we'll see.
Don't know. But right now, I'm staying at home like everyone else, quarantined.
Good. That's what we like to hear right now. Well, I have to say, Nicole, it's been an absolute delight having you on the show. I hope you've had as much fun as I have.
Sam, it's been wonderful. You're awesome, man.
Well, I have to say that's going on the record now that Jill Valentine has called me awesome.
Definitely.
Like that has to be like on there.
Take your little sound bite and tag. You can just kind of play it on repeat, go to sleep every night. You're awesome, man. You're awesome, man. That's how I sleep.
That's not weird at all.
No, not at all.
That's totally
normal. I didn't suggest it. What?
No, what? Who? So I shall say a very sad farewell, but I hope we can see you on the show again sometime in the near future.
Totally. This has been so much fun. Thanks for having me and thanks for listening and being a huge fan of the series. It's honestly the people that listen and the people that play that allow these games to be made. So you and everyone else is just as much a part of these the creation and fruition of the games that we love.
Oh, how lovely of you to say as well. And that's just for you listeners as well. It includes everyone.
Definitely.
All right. Thanks very much. Take care.
Bye.